He struts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
Ah, yes. Hello, my friends. A beautiful day right here in New York City. Hopefully it's gorgeous wherever you are. My name is Mark Farrell. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Well, of course, everyone knows worldwide that on this day, New Yorkers are the friendliest people in the world. Yes, on this day only. Everywhere you go, people are smiling, giving out free roses, chocolate cards, hugs, you name it. Holding the doors open for you? Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Hey, buddy, get out of my way! Yeah, that still happens as we're speaking right now. Wouldn't that be a nice thought, though? Mark Farrell Insights. Yes, lots of fun things to talk about. What do you do on Valentine's Day? What are your traditions? I always used to like to go out when I was single to a bar or restaurant because it's always easy to identify the other single people, right? No brainer. Well, if there's two girls sitting at the end of the bar, chances are, yeah, they were highly single because they're out on Valentine's Day. And I think it's almost like waving a flag saying, yeah, I'm not hooked up, so I'm out today looking for a hookup. Not a bad thing. But if you are hooked up, good for you. And what do you do on this day? Do you go for the chocolates, the flowers, the dinner out, all that jazz? Which is cool. Hey, to each their own, right? I do something kind of simple. I get fresh strawberries with the kiddos. Who knows how fresh they are, right? You buy them from the store. And then we do go to a local chocolatier and get some chocolate. And we melt the chocolate and we dip the strawberries. And then we cover them and we give them to their mother, my wife, later tonight. And it's kind of a cool little tradition. Oh, also, I make pizza. I don't actually do the dough. No, I don't do the dough at all. I buy the dough from a pizza place. And I don't know how I do this, but I'm able to make it into the shape of a heart. It's pretty darn close for, you know, not having corners, but they're rounded. And it looks really neat. And it's a big, big thrill for the kids, my 14-year-old and 11-year-old. And they love it. And the pizza tastes really, really good. But by the time the strawberries come out, we're like, we're good because we've had too many chocolate-covered strawberries while making the chocolate-covered strawberries. But that's pretty much the extent of it. My wife is not a big flower person, especially on a day like this because, you know, we know how ridiculously overpriced they are and yada yada. So that's kind of cool. So we just kind of do like a kid thing and the strawberries and a pizza. That's kind of a neat thing. How about you? Yeah. Yeah, well, that works too. A big party for Kansas City actually happening right now. The parade is going on. Good for them, man. What a game. Wow. I mean, it started off for the first quarter and a half sleepy, really sleepy. I'm like, oh, man, is this going to go anywhere? And then, of course, it turned into a really super game. Mahomes and Purdy just stellar. The athleticism on those two quarterbacks, undeniably just unbelievable, yeah. To be able to let Purdy, especially Purdy, that one tackle, one lineman who was coming on him, and he had an arm on him, and he was turning into basically a 360. And upon the release of shaking this tackle, he was able to release the ball to receiver dead on. So I'm just, it's a great reminder just thinking about how accurate these guys, how gifted athletes, how elite they are in every possible capacity. Especially the quarterbacks, to be able to multitask. Again, you're dodging linemen. You're looking for multiple openings. You can't find an opening, or you do find multiple openings. Which one looks better? And this is in milliseconds. Sometimes if the line's really good and you have a break, you could have a few seconds. But usually the time where you're deciding, determining whether to cast that ball either left, center, or right, or run, is, you know, a gargantuan decision that can impact the game big time. And they make it look so easy. It's incredible how easily they make it look. Wow. My God. Good for them. So, yeah, a dynasty? Who knows? I'm not a believer in using that word, but it's nice to see that Reed win again. Mahomes, who looks like a really grounded, down-to-earth guy with a dad bod. I'm just kidding. You saw the picture recently of him without a shirt. Hey, the guy's in good shape. Is he chiseled? No, but who cares? The guy's got an arm like, you know, a lethal weapon. But we do have to speak about Kelce. Yeah, I'm not sure And I can't, I guess, come to grips on why more media wasn't talking about how he pushed Andy Reid. He was pissed off. He got yanked out of the game and didn't like it, threw his helmet, and there he was, pissed, and shoved the coach. I mean, that's unthinkable. I, in my wildest dreams, the very few sports, team sports that I played, could never think of doing that. Of course, professional level is a whole nother ball game. But to, you know, throw your helmet, okay, we'll look the other way, you know, but to go up and physically push your coach, Andy Reid, and good for Andy Reid for keeping his composure. Wow. You know, he had a few special words for him. Or better yet, he compartmentalized Kelsey and was like, okay, well, I'm going to deal with this guy later. And of course they won, so it's not a bigger deal. I think if they lost, it certainly would have had much more, I don't know, focus because it would have been like another reason why they didn't win was possibly because of Kelsey's, you know, incredible unsportsmanlike conduct. And here he is, and they are, all players on the world stage for every child, to see, an adult, but for more importantly for children. As a parent and a coach, you know, I don't, yeah, do I like to win soccer games? Of course. But it's more important for me, for the kids to learn ethics, morals, decorum on the field and off the field. Because, you know, a lot of times the kids are goofing on the side of the field, not watching a game. And we, you know, we call them on it, you know, respectfully. And conduct is everything. Should I start talking about Trump now because I spoke about conduct? I can't go there yet. But yeah, I think something needs to be, you know, dealt with, especially since, you know, he knew the world, the entire world was watching him because of, yes, Taylor Swift. Here he is playing a game of his life. Taylor is, you know, a couple hundred yards away from him, if that, in a skybox, looking down. And I don't know if she saw it at the moment, but I wonder if someone whispered in her ear, hey, your boyfriend just pushed the head coach. And how would she react to that? I mean, she seems so polite, well-mannered, grounded for the person that she is. I mean, raised on a farm in Pennsylvania. And, you know, she works her tail off really, really hard. And I just don't see the two of them together. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, her crew, her PR media team must have been like freaking out. They must have been on standby, of course. They're probably in the back of the suite or somewhere in the bowels of the stadium. Because if something unraveled or took place, good, bad, or indifferent, they were able to get right on top of it. Put a tweet out, boom. And so when that happened, I'm sure they were like, oh, no. This is not good for Taylor's image. So maybe that's why, and I hate to think like this, maybe that's why Taylor like had an extra long embrace with him after the game on the field. An extra long kiss. I mean, they definitely do look smitten. There's no doubt about it. But I just don't see the guy with her. You could hear him, you know, when he got the mic, when he's being interviewed on the field after the trophy was handed out, Lombardi trophy, and he was just sounds very gruff. And I was just like, whoa, man. Just, you know, hey, everybody is attracted to a certain type. You know, we do have those offshoots where we're like, what was I thinking? And I think this is going to be down the road, hopefully very soon, if it's not good for her. The what was I thinking boyfriend. We've all had him. But, you know, the guy's a Democrat. He's very liberal, very open about opportunities for immigrants, and outwardly speaks out about Trump, how he doesn't like him, how he's reprehensible. I'm not sure if he used that word, but he's good that way. And I like, I'm slightly pivoting here, onto Taylor, but, you know, Taylor could be really, really impactful on this election because the amount of people that she can influence is mind-boggling, millions. So all she has to do is say, she doesn't have to say who she's voting for because they know who she's voting for, register and vote. Three words, register and vote. You can make it four words, please, to her fans. And man, there will be record turnout. Record turnout. And I bet you she is vacillating about this, and I bet you she will do it. I hope she does it. We need it. All right. So is Joe, okay, yeah, are we done with the football thing? I think so. Great game. Yes. I mean, that's what sport is all about, right? Battling right to the end. I loved it. And yes, there's always a loser, but the San Francisco Chiefs, man, they fought tooth and nail. Very, very respectable game and highly, highly well matched. I mean, just the two of those teams together, they were saying that they would be a good match, and I thought they were a good match. I mean, I know a fair amount about football, but geez, to see those two in action was just incredible. But so if you're in Kansas City, hope you're having a great time at the parade. If you're not going to the parade because it's too crowded or you don't want to hear Kelce screaming at the top of his lungs, yeah, well, watch out for the security in the limos for Taylor, because it's a rumor that she will be there again. And how could she not, right? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, so it would be interesting and highly interesting. And I kind of mused about this recently with someone that, I wonder if it's too late to throw someone else in for the Dems. Joe Biden, yes. I mean, is he doing a good job? He's doing a good job. I mean, outwardly, he's not vocal. He's not communicative like he should be. He doesn't have the strength, the stamina. But is he getting done what we need to? Yes. I mean, the border crisis, apparently it came out a week or two ago that he had a nice package together that Mitch McConnell said, yes, we can work with this, we can pass this. But he's not going to do it now because it's going to make Biden look good. They don't want to make Biden look good. Well, what about for the good of the country, the good of the nation? You know, states being inundated with thousands and thousands of undocumented migrants. Yes, this country is built on this. We all know that. But never thought I'd say this in my lifetime, but they need to shut the borders down completely until this gets handled. The school districts in another year or two are going to be overrun in certain areas. The fiscal responsibilities, healthcare, I mean, countless repercussions of what's dwindling and what's unraveling, rather, right now. So they need to. So that's what I started to pivot to. So can we get someone else in there? So if Biden says, listen, I'm not physically fit for another 4 years, which I kind of thought was his initial plan, because didn't he say something like, I'm going to be the bridge. That's what he said. So that kind of was a metaphor in my eyes that he's like, OK, I'm doing this for 4 years. I'm out. The Dems can get somebody in the bullpen, and we'll be good. But no. So I was, you know, of course, many people say this, but, you know, there are no potential candidates except for the one person I can think of that would be, I guess, suitable. Newsom. Yeah, California Gov. Is he doing a great job out there? I don't know, man. I mean, the homeless issue is just dire. But nationally, what do we have? Can you run for president? I'll vote for you. But man, we got to get something out there. I was watching, what show was I watching recently? Bill Maher. They were saying that historically, this has happened two or three times where a president actually said, no, they're not running, they can't run, and they threw someone in the last minute. This actually can be done right up to election day, right before election day. As crazy and as ludicrous as this sounds, it could happen. It can be executed. Because you know what? Politics is all about what? Making it work. Retweaking the laws, jockeying things around to make it work. And I guarantee that they will have something or someone. Well, I can't guarantee that. I'm hoping that they will. And I'm sure you're probably hoping that they will as well, because it's scary. I mean, all right, Trump, even if he wasn't just so repugnant, I mean, he's old too. And look at his actions. Look how he spoke out. I mean, yeah, I guess this isn't really uncharacteristic of him. how he was saying, yeah, Putin, you should, you know, go against our allies and do X, Y, and Z the other day. I mean, here is the guy who was the president, seeks to be the president again, and talks so ill-mannered of our country, our sitting president, and other potential, you know, nominees, and threatens our allies with Putin like an attack dog. I just don't get still how people in this world, in this country rather, that are so ignorant and spineless. So the ignorant people just don't know better. They think, oh, he's a regular guy like me. No, he's not a regular guy. He's about two things, power and power. Yeah, that's it. It's all about him. Not about his kids, not about his wife. It's all about power. Yes, power comes in the form of money and acceptance by other leaders like Putin and other world leaders. Yep, that's all he wants. So I just don't get it. But the spineless part are the other Republicans, the majority of the Republicans that just can't stand up to him. And I just don't understand it. Is your job, the one you signed up for as a governor, to serve and protect and to do the right thing as a congressman, your civic duty less important than your perception? You'll get another job. Don't worry. But you cannot stand up for what is wrong? Wow. I mean, yeah, man, it's just so disheartening. It's so disheartening. So hopefully going back to the whole Taylor Swift, Kelce relationship. Yeah, I hope she has the power. She does have the power. But I hope she executes that. Hey, get out there, register, and vote. Please. Can't forget the please. I hope she does that because we need it, man. We really, really need it. It's a scary thought thinking about 4 years more of this buffoon. And that's a nice word to call him a buffoon, as you know. So I mentioned this maybe a couple of weeks ago that I did a talk for a client out in California. And they knew somebody in, where is this person located? In Ireland, in Europe. And they connected us. And this person's a great person. This is a retired Coke executive. Actually, they left Coke because they want to reinvent themselves. And this woman is just a firestorm, man. She's just breaking glass ceilings left and right. And I really enjoy her company. We spoke on the phone once or twice. And then she told me she's going to be writing a book on reinvention. And she wanted me to contribute a chapter. And I was like, oh, cool. That's nice. So I said to her, listen, I want to be clear with you. My story is not so much about reinvention. It's about pivoting and reinventing. So it's kind of a hybrid. So long story short, I was in radio for 20 years. After college, I had an internship in New York City radio. Never left. CD 101.9, the top five radio station in New York City back in the 90s. Then it turned into Rock 101.9 RXP, modern rock station for 5 years. And then that got sold in 2011. So when I saw the digital handwriting on the wall, so to speak, how listenerships and how the industry was changing, I had decided that I wanted to be a motivational speaker. I'd been speaking in a lot of live different formats for many years, hosting events, doing talks, not nearly in the caliber and or size, audience size that I do now, but it was something that was very, very intriguing to me. And so that's how I kind of flipped it. So then I was out of radio for about 2 years, and then I got back into it because I miss it so much. I love the connection, the rapport, and of course, sharing great stories and ideas with listeners. So since then, I've been doing concurrently my speaking business, and I work for a rock station. Of course, I'm on PRN. I also work for a jazz station, WBGO in Newark. It is a legendary station. Everyone, if you like jazz, you can go anywhere in the world, and they'll know WBGO because we stream, and it's just an incredible, incredible station. Anyway, I digress. So I was asked to do a chapter. So I found it to be a lot of fun. She said it was 5,000 words. I'm like, 5,000 words? That's like 10 written pages. Okay. And it's funny because I had been toying with the idea of writing a book. A few people were like, Mark, you have to write a book. I'm like, yeah. It's just time and dedication. That's what I need to do. So I did start writing a chapter actually like 2 years ago, embarrassingly enough. But the words just flew out of me. A just flew out of me. As a matter of fact, I even got over 5,000 words. So they edited it down because they are going with a publisher. And I just signed off last night, actually, on the final version. And now it's off to the publisher. Hit the presses. I've always wanted to say that, right? Start the presses or stop the presses. So that's going to be pretty cool. I'll share it with you. I think there are 34 other contributors. So I'm very, very honored and privileged to be among a lot of very, very industrious and successful people. And again, I'll share all the details. It's going to be in digital and hard copy form. And the really, really cool thing is, in Europe, unlike the United States, they can actually go to print and have a book on the shelf in weeks. It takes a year. So, for example, if we were to hit the submit button right now to the publisher, everything was signed off, it would be 10 months to a year easily before something was on a shelf. Not in Europe. Nope, it's going to be 6-7 weeks. And I was like, oh, is this for a digital copy? She's like, no, hard copy. I'm like, wow, unbelievable. So I told her, her name is Val Quinn. I said, Val, if you need any press, I'd be happy to come over to Dublin and have a pint with you and do some interviews. She's like, yeah, Mark, that sounds like fun. I said, yeah, it does sound like fun. I actually was out in Dublin in past August for a wedding, a family wedding. It's such a great city. It's very doable in like a day or two, so you don't need a lot of time. But the countryside, so very nice. And I really, really enjoy the country. And the people there, it's just so beautiful. Anyway, I'll keep you posted on that. So one of my kids have their first, well, probably not their first, but maybe their first real crush where it's actually materializing into something, where they're actually doing something together. So my son went on a date the other day. They just played basketball the other day, him and this girl, and I thought it was really, really cute. And so today he wanted to bring a flower to school. My wife and I are like, oh my God, how cute is this? I never did such a thing. I would have been so embarrassed to bring a flower into school. Back in freshman year in high school, I would have been so afraid of being ridiculed. So good for him and good for everybody else who are confident in who they are. And who cares if someone says something like, you know, ridiculous about, oh, you're bringing flowers for a girl, whatever, you know. That they go with their heart. And I said to him, regardless of whether you, this is before we got the flower, of whether you give this person a present, the gift of your time and heart is everything. Listening and talking to a person and being with them, that's the biggest gift of all. And he's like, Dad, that's pretty deep. I'm like, well, I mean, that's reality, you know? Yes, it's nice to give somebody an extra little something, but you know, I don't go, you know, as I shared with you a few minutes ago, you know, I don't get my wife anything crazy for Valentine's Day. Besides strawberries and pizza, you know, I make her a nice card. As a matter of fact, I started renovating my bathroom, which I'll share with you. And I got a box the other day. My wife ordered a mirror. And so there's like these really big styrofoam square blocks. It's going to be like 40 inches by 38 inches. So I said to the kids, hey, I'll slice these up and can we make big cards, like some big red Sharpies, make some big Valentine's Day cards for your mom. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So trying to be creative. But, you know, I keep it simple because I'm all about originality. You know, doing something that's so expected, so cookie cutter, does it show that you're thinking of this person? Yeah, of course. But why not be original? It's not about how much money you spent. It's about the thoughtful time that you spent considering this person and yourself in the equation as well, because, you know, you should not only just think about them, but, you know, I'm not saying buy yourself a gift when you're buying someone else a gift, but that's not a terrible thing, right? I bought myself a saw the other day. I'm totally digressing here. I've always bought I buy a lot of stuff used off of Facebook Marketplace and, you know, just trying to save some money with kids. And I love carpentry. And so I've been looking for a new miter saw. It's one of those saws, they call it chop saw. It's kind of an indispensable saw to have when you're a builder or building furniture and things of that nature. So I'm looking, I found this new one that's highly suggested as a, you know, the best one for its money. And So I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy it. But brand new, it's like $900, $1,000. I'm like, oh, man, it's a lot of money. So I found one on Facebook Marketplace for $600, brand new in the box. Did it fall off the back of a truck? I don't think so, because I met this guy, and it was really in a box, sealed and everything. And he opens it for me. And he's like, hey, I said, how do you, and he's got a box full of brand new tools. I'm like, how do you come across these? With a smile on my face. And he's like, oh, I buy them wholesale, and I can still make enough money that I buy my own tools. And I'm like thinking, yeah, this guy's selling me a bunch of, you know what. But then I spoke to another friend of mine. He goes, yeah, a friend of mine does the same thing. So it really does happen where these guys buy, you know, tons of DeWalt or Bosch or Milwaukee tools, and they can sell them for, you know, depending on a price. But this saw was more than $300 less. So anyway, so I got the saw. I'm really, really happy about that. So where the hell was I? This is what happens when you own or have a solo show and you're talking about a multitude of topics. But first girlfriend. Yeah, that's where I was. So it's really cute that my son is going to high school, freshman year. And he's like, Dad, do I got to carry this flower around? I'm like, no, put it in your locker. He's like, I don't have a locker. I'm like, you have a locker. He's like, I don't remember the combo. I'm like, oh, my God. Kid, I can't do everything for you, nor should I. Figure it out. See you later. So it'll be interesting to see what transpires today. But it's kind of cute. You know, it makes you think about when you were young, right? Remember those tiny little cards you used to buy for Valentine's Day and give them to your classmates? Those were very, very cute. Those were fun times, right? So I'm excited to hear about my son's adventures today. So the New York City, New York City has a 5-borough bike tour you may be familiar with. It's called the TD Bike Tour. And it's been around for, oh man, I'd say like 35 years. It started out rather small, and it literally goes through the 5 boroughs, starts in Staten Island, goes over the Verrazano Bridge. And I imagine it grew from like 5,000, I think it's up to 40,000 now. As much as or more than a New York City marathon. But here lies the problem. Everyone's on a bicycle. That's why it's called the bike tour. Can you imagine the mayhem of 50,000 or 40,000 people on a bicycle going in the same direction at the same time? Well, thankfully, it's been worked out so they have staggered starts. And I haven't done it in years because as a cyclist, I'm like, whoa. There's way too many people trying to be Lance Armstrong. And I did it once, and I said to myself, I'm not going to do that again. I care for my bike and my health too much to partake in such mayhem. But anyway, that has changed. The New York City Lighthouse Guild, which serves people with blindness and visual impairments, they are having a team, rather, and they're teaming up with the Foreseeable Future Foundation, led by Griffin Pinkow, great guy. And so I'm going to be part of this team, and we're going to ride. And the cool part is that when you are a donor or have a team, you can start off in the actual beginning of the ride. So you can go through all 5 boroughs in the beginning, in the early start of the ride, ahead of the 40 or 45, 50,000 riders. So I'm kind of excited about that. So if you live in the area, New York City area, or you want to, you know, ride in for this, it's in May. And it takes part, again, through the 5 boroughs. It's a really, really special ride. You get to see the different cultures. You smell the food, the people, their faces, the smiles. And you meet just some outstanding, loving people. And it's just an incredible, incredible event. Second only to the New York City Marathon. And I say that's only better because everyone's on foot and walking. Even when you're done running the marathon, you're walking to wherever you're going. And it's just one giant family that day. And this day, the 5-borough TD5, man, I can't get this name right today. New York 5, forget it. This is what happens when you get up at 4:30 in the morning. You have a light breakfast and no lunch. Yeah, the result of that. The TD 5-borough bike ride. There we go. Bam, got it. It's really exciting. So all the information to sign up is online. If you want to be on my team, you can shoot me an email, mark@markfarrell.us, mark@markfarrell.us. and we'll get you hooked up. I don't know what you have to pay, but I'm sure, you know, you fundraise and it's not a lot of money. It's like $500, I think, or $700. You ask a couple people for $50 and there you are. But it goes for degenerative retinal diseases for Lighthouse Guild NYC. Lighthouse is the premier facility all across the nation. There's multiple locations that serve people with blindness. I mean, the community that they help is just spectacular. The services they provide are just incredible. Lighthouse Guild, they were the New York City Lighthouse International for years. Then a couple years back, they merged with the Jewish Guild, which did similar programs and ophthalmic work. But when they merged together, they are pretty much a one-stop shop. And Dr. Bruce Rosenthal, who was chief of low vision, was my doctor for years, and he just retired. So, hey, Bruce, if you're listening, thanks for everything that you've done for the countless, countless patients that you well served, including yours truly. I went to see Bruce Rosenthal in 1992. Actually, it was 1991 because my brother, who's older than me, went to a physician, and a physician said, you know, you should go see the chief of low vision, Dr. Bruce Rosenthal. I think there's something he can do for you because my brother and I have retinoschisis. Our retinas are torn and scarred, and so it can't be corrected with glasses, surgery, contact lenses, any procedure that you hear people say, like, oh, can't you get that RK surgery? Or I'm like, no, I can't. Otherwise, I would have. But they do incredible, incredible work. And this gentleman, when he saw me, said to me, well, what can't you do in your life that you'd like to do? And I said, drive. So there I was, 25 years of age, never been able to legally drive a car. And he said, well, let's see if that's possible. And he gave me a most thorough eye exam. And he said, yes, you'll be able to drive with a pair of these glasses. And he handed me these glasses. And I was like, are you joking? And he's like, no, these are what you can wear to legally drive in the state of New York. And I said, okay, sign me up. So to give you a visual on these glasses, they look like a pair of glasses that your doctor would wear or your hygienist when they're cleaning your teeth. Yes, they have little telescopes on the outside. Well, not so little. They're kind of big. And so that's what I wear to legally drive. So when I want to see the color of a light or a stop sign or someone crossing the road, I guess kind of tilt my head down a touch and the telescopes go into my view. Are they difficult? Hell yes. Extremely difficult to use and navigate. Taking me years and years to become as adept as I am because you have to be able to know where, almost like a quarterback, know where something's going to gauge where you need to drop your telescope. So as I'm looking at something, I need to look as I'm moving in the vehicle ahead so my telescope can capture it in milliseconds so I don't take my eyes off the road for too long. Because imagine walking down the street holding a telescope. You can't see what's in front of you. You're seeing, I don't know, a football field away or so. So you're hesitant to walk because you're like, I can't see the few feet ahead of my feet. But anyway, it was a solution. I felt like it was a miracle. So Dr. Bruce Rosenthal was the person who majorly, majorly impacted my life. Without those glasses, I potentially would not be a motivational speaker because they allowed me to do so many other things, inspired me and empowered me and invigorated me, triathlons, marathons, and so much more. And the miraculous part continues because I can drive to give my talks to students with or without disabilities, to corporations. And that is really, really special. And I never, never, ever take that for granted. I remember my mom, geez, probably like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, she broke her hip and she was in bed. And something came up, I guess, about me getting somewhere. It's before I was able to drive. And she said, Mark, I would spend the rest of my life in bed if you were able to drive. And I was like, whoa, that's powerful. Man. So, yeah, needless to say, my mom was a wonderful person, just I'm sure as your parents are and were, because, I mean, that's what we do. I tell my kids, I got three roles for you, to love you, keep you safe, and educate you. Love you, keep you safe, and educate you. They're like, only three? I'm like, yeah, pretty much everything fits under those three umbrellas, right? Yeah, pretty much does. So anyway, the Five Borough bike ride, if you want to do it, cool. Check it out. TD Five Borough Bike Ride, New York, happening in May. I don't have the exact date, sorry. It's really kind of a fun thing to partake in. You don't have to, by the way, it's not a race. It's a very casual ride. You can stop, you can go, you can stop some more. Hell, you could even stop into a bar and have a pint and continue, or get a New York City bagel or a slice of pizza or a ganache. I mean, you know, the food is just no limits to what's available. So have you gotten any concert tickets for this spring or summer? A lot of great shows are out. Yeah, well, of course, you know, the Stones announced their tour and album. What is that, over 2 months ago now? I rushed out and I bought a pair of tickets. Actually, I bought three. They're going to be at MetLife Stadium, which is right across the river in New Jersey from New York City. 10-minute drive without traffic. And they're going to be there. I'm going to see them Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, on Sunday night. They're there, I think, for three shows. So that's something really to look forward to, right? Any show that you buy tickets for, you're like, oh, yeah, I can't wait till then. And now another show got announced probably like a month ago. This is really cool. If you're a Van Halen fan, a rocker, Sammy Hagar is putting a tour on, including himself, Jason Bonham. That's John Bonham's son from Led Zeppelin. Who else is there? The guitarist from the other guitarist from Van Halen. Sorry, again, I need food. And one other person, Joe Satriani. It's going to be a hellacious show. So if you like Van Halen, it's going to be a lot of like Van Hagar. Like, then what I mean by Van Hagar means the era of Van Halen that Sammy Hagar was in Van Halen. And he actually, Sammy Hagar, did a nice thing. He put an invite openly, publicly, to David Lee Roth, said, hey, you want to join a tour? Come on, man. We'd love to have you. Unlikely that he would, but it would be great. But Joe Satriani, I mean, hands down, one of the top five guitarists ever. And Eddie Van Halen, was he a top great guitarist? Yes. But unfortunately, you know, he got sidetracked and detoured with drugs and alcohol a lot. And for as much damage as he did to himself, may this guy rest in peace, he was still a miraculous guitarist. But Satriani, oh, man. I mean, it's just going to be a dream come true to see this guy perform live. So my son is a drummer, my 14-year-old. He wants to be a pro drummer. He's got some serious chops. He plays orchestral music. He plays operatic music. He plays rock, pop, and modern rock. So he's totally into it. So I got us a pair of tickets to go see that show with Sammy Hagar. And so he's going to be totally psyched. But, you know, concerts are just so ridiculously priced nowadays. Man, I just hope that something happens in Congress where they really try to curtail the fees and the fees and the fees. I mean, say if a ticket's, you know, $120 nowadays, which is totally reasonable, which I'm sad to say. But the fees on top of that could be $40, $50 times two for a pair of tickets, another $100 or more. It's just insane. I mean, music is medicine. I mean, people, I don't know. I feel like I live to exist for music, live for music, rather. And it's just so good for the soul on many levels. And then if you take that viewpoint with, you know, thousands of people to experience such incredible, I can't say magic, but it feels magical. But music experience with people, the camaraderie, just amplifies the whole experience. Do you feel that way? Yeah, I do, man. Just to be in a crowd of people that hopefully, you know, are not going like ape shit around you, that's for sure. But to really enjoy a show, dancing, pumping your fists, air guitar, drums, singing at the top of your lungs, together with strangers. Oh, man, there's nothing like it. But, you know, you got to have a budget, though, for this, you know, whether you're getting your taxes back and buying some concert tickets for that, or in that capacity. But, you know, it's unfortunately not easy like it used to be. It's much more difficult. There's a venue in Asbury Park called the Stone Pony. Legendary venue. I mean, people from around the world literally come to Asbury Park, New Jersey, on the beach. It's literally on the beach. And to see this venue. I mean, everyone from Bruce Bon Jovi, Cat Stevens, Pretenders, Stones, you name it, have played there. And so they have a great outdoor venue in the summertime in July and August and half of September. A huge venue. Probably holds, well, I say huge, it's probably 5,000 to 7,000. Well, that's pretty big for something that faces the ocean. And so, but really cool thing is that you can actually sit on a boardwalk and if the music is loud, which it usually is, and the music isn't, I'm sorry, if the wind isn't blowing in the opposite direction, you can hear the concert clear as a bell. And so I've done that a few times, even for bands I just didn't love, but I'm like, hey, let's go sit on a boardwalk and check out the music. And that's what I've done, and that is so fun. So maybe there's a venue by you. I know Red Rocks out in Colorado has, I mean, that place is just dreamy. I mean, to be in nature's backyard, whew, and to see a show there, incredible. So maybe you can find a venue like that, an outside amphitheater that where you can kind of eavesdrop on a show. Because again, you know, things are so expensive. I mean, a grocery store, you know, you go there, things are up 25% from 2 years ago. And apparently they're predicting that costs will start to decline within this year. They're not saying how much, but they will decline. And if it's not the cost, maybe, well, they're saying the cost first, and then hopefully the product size, because, you know, we're all getting gypped on product size, man. It's just incredible. You know, you buy a big bag of, a big air bag, and there's be like three chips in there. Yeah, am I buying air or am I buying three chips? Oh, man. You come out of the grocery store and you hold two bags and it's $120. You're like, what in the world did I buy? I got nothing. This is going to last me or my family and I like 3 days. Nothing. It's incredible, right? I mean, God, where we've ended in terms of the cost. But you kind of knew that with the pandemic. Like, man, things are really, really going to change and suffer. Of course, we knew people were going to be out of work and the economy was going to tank a bit. And certainly really, really fortunate that the economy didn't tank worse than it has, man. We're really, really fortunate about that. Here we are, Wednesday. I love Wednesdays. My favorite day of the week possibly are Thursdays, though, because Thursdays, you know, so much potential. You got the, like, the, you're on the precipice of the weekend. Friday's, right, hours away. Still can make plans, change plans, do nothing, have fun, travel, go to a concert, listen to PRN, whatever you want to do. But I always think that's like an exciting, the most exciting day of the week for me. Again, Thursdays, followed by Fridays, and then Saturdays. And Mondays, I don't hate. I know a lot of people despise Mondays, but, you know, when you think about it in the right perspective, and if I guess if you have your ducks in a row, if you don't, then you may be like, oh man, I'm dreading this week. But I mean, that can happen to anybody anytime. But, you know, never, never doubt, man, your ability to do and tackle and accomplish whatever it is you want. You know you can. The only person or thing holding you back, most likely, without knowing specifics, is yourself. Listening to other people saying, you know, why would you do that? You can't do that. It's impossible. That combined with maybe some inner negative self-talk, you know, it's all about the dialogue, man, that you have with yourself. If you know you can do something with maybe the preparation, the research, the tools, the homework, put the time and effort in, you know, like the 10,000 rule, you can do it. You know, I mean, for example, I just gutted a bathroom. Do I have some woodworking skills and handyman skills? Yes, but you don't have to. Like, I saved myself probably a little bit over $3,000 by gutting the bathroom, the kids' bathroom, hallway bathroom, your typical hallway bathroom, and sheetrocking it. And I'm doing the half the plumbing. I'm doing the toilet installation. Actually, I did that last night. I hired an electrician for new lighting. I do electrical work, but I don't run new electrical. I know I have the ability to. You're saying, like, you're visually impaired. How do you do this? With two magnifiers, my friend. Yeah, two magnifiers. It's pretty funny. And with a headlamp on my head, strapped on my forehead. I get it done, man. And you can get it done regardless, right? I mean, so my will is my drive to get this done, to be industrious, to be productive, and then turn around and say, wow, look what I did. Yeah, man. So we all have the skills, the quality, the determined ability to say, yeah, this is something I really want to attain. So whatever it is in life, you know, just reach out. You know, people always want to talk about themselves, what they do. So tap into a network of people, whether it's a friendship, whether it's you want to run a 5K, You want to get your associate's degree, maybe your master's, maybe a new job in a field that terrifies you but also excites you. Yeah, there's so much opportunity within yourself and within this world, within your sphere. So I guarantee you, if you just try, dabble in what you want to do, I guarantee you, you will. So for example, going back to the bathroom. So I hired a tile guy and I hired an electrician. Everything else I did myself. Oh, I'm sorry. I hired a plumber to tie in the tub connections, but I'm doing the sink and I did the toilet. Two toilets actually in my house, because I'm like, maybe it's nice to get another comfort height, a taller toilet. So I did that. So, and it looks amazing. And I painted the bathroom. And yes, did I get some of the wall paint on the ceiling? Of course I did. So my wife's going to have to go back and touch that because she's got great eyes. Unlike yours truly, who have very, how should I put it? Capable eyes to a point. But anyway, nothing that a little touch-up can't fix. And hey, who would we be in life if we weren't able to touch things up in life, right? I mean, why not? So whatever it is, it's holding you back. As a matter of fact, there's a local, man, this is an interesting little business down the street from us. It's called Calgo Gardens, from where I live, Calgo Gardens. And they offer so many different things. They have a florist. They have a little gift shop. They're a nursery. They do landscaping services. They have a little like organic restaurant on the side. And this place is like out of a fairy tale book. It is so cute, so gorgeous. And the vibe in this community, I just love it. So they also offer talks as well. So I'm going to be giving a talk soon. So I think they're going to stream it live. So if they do, I will share that information with you, because I'd like to have all our friends internationally be able to tap into that as well and experience it. It's probably going to be on reinvention, overcoming adversity, being more resilient, etc. I look forward to that, because there's nothing like a very quaint, small, intimate talk. I love talking to groups of 2,000, 5,000 plus, but that is a whole different vibe to that. And the messaging is usually different. It's much more macro, and I can get down more into the nitty-gritty with a small, very intimate group of people where you can see their faces, where they're like, you know, 3 feet away or 5 feet away. So for me, that's kind of a cool thing. All right, my friends, I hope you had a great day. I hope you continue to have an incredible Valentine's Day, however big, small you want it to be. You know, every day in my eyes is Valentine's Day. I'm not trying to be corny, because you don't need the 14th of February to know that every day you should be telling people or showing people that you love them. Yes, is it a Hallmark day? Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, it is. But you know what? No one gets tired of hearing from someone that they love that they are loved by that person, right? So whether the snow where you are, like we are today, it's pretty cool. There's a snowman on my neighbor's front lawn. That's pretty impressive. I'm like, man, I can never do a snowman like that. Or whether you're out in California or in The Hague, in the Amsterdam, in New Amsterdam, rather the Netherlands, or in Madrid. I wish you a happy Valentine's Day. My name is Mark Farrell. Thank you so much for keeping it right here on the Progressive Radio Network. Keep living and laughing. See you next week.
Insight with Mark Farrell. Check out this and all Insight shows on the Insight page at PRN.FM. PRN.FM. Have Mark speak at your company, your kid's school or college. Mark speaks on critical topics that affect kids and adults everywhere, from anti-bullying, mental health, drugs and alcohol, to overcoming adversity. Visit MarkFarrellMotivation.com for more info. Insight, Thursday mornings at 11 on the Progressive Radio Network.